You're listening to the Play Therapy Podcast with Dr. Brenna Hicks, your source for centered and focused play therapy coaching.
Hi, I'm Dr. Brenna Hicks, the kid counselor. This is the Play Therapy Podcast, where you get a masterclass in child-centered play therapy and practical support and application for your work with children and their families. In today's episode, we are finally moving into a new category of themes. So we're moving into safety play. And we are going to talk through these five themes that fall within the safety play category. And just kind of as a broad picture overview of these next five themes, all safety play themes are really focused on making sure that there is safety either for the child or for an identified character. And I know I've thrown this out there a few times, but I haven't really gone into depth, probably just because it would be out of the theme series. But keep in mind that kids will often have an archetype in their play. And what that means is they choose a figure, a character, a miniature, an animal, they choose something in the room, and they use it consistently. So we know that that becomes their archetypal figure. And that is their representation of themselves in their play. And obviously that is when they're still in third person play. If and when they move to first person play, then the archetype is no longer necessary because they're acting as themselves in the play once they switch to first person. But just for your own awareness, all of these five safety themes, the intention is the establishment of safety for either the child or the character that they've identified, usually as their archetype. So we will move into containing play today. And this is one of the safety play themes. So when you have containing play, it's largely understandable. They contain things, right? But I want to give some examples of what that may look like because it can present itself in different ways. So sometimes they will use fences and they will fence in something. Sometimes they will build pens for animals. They will build a house with blocks, or they'll use wooden beads or Lincoln logs or wooden blocks or something like that, and they will put something inside. They will use a jail or create a jail. They will sometimes put figures inside of a jail. So there are all of these different ways that you will see containing play. And I want to make it very clear that the focus is always on keeping something inside the area in which they contain it, or keeping something outside of it. So in other words, if something is in the pen, that either means they cannot get out or something can't get in. And it can go either way because the containing is just that it keeps it in one location. So it's either that something is to stay inside or something is to stay outside. And I want to just add a point of clarification. This is not the same thing as hiding and or permanence. So there is a distinction between the containing play, because hiding is always interactive. Containing is really just keeping it in a location. So there is a difference. I just wanted to make that clear. So anytime you see a child get all of the farm stuff out and put all of the, you know how farm sets have the fences that like click together on the edges? So they will click all of these fence sections together and they'll create a pen for the animals. Or I actually have like a miniature cage and almost all my kids use it as a jail. It's technically, if you don't have this, you really should buy it. It is, you'll find them in stores and it's supposed to be where you lock your cell phone up. So you'll actually see this little plastic cage and it says like, put your cell phone in here and it'll keep you from using it or whatever. So a lot of times they'll have them at schools and places like that. Get one of those. They're quite inexpensive and kids can use them as jails for animals and figures and miniatures. And that's definitely a favorite. So when you have the jails, the fences, the pens, the boundaries, anything that they put something inside of or keep something out of, that's definitely containing play. So what can this mean? Often it is kids who their bent is to keep all of their feelings very locked up and contained, especially negative feelings. So if you have kids that are very quick to dismiss or ignore or avoid any kind of negative emotion, they're used to stuffing and containing those big feelings. So they will represent that in their containing play theme. Another meaning potentially is if their home environment is very much like the elephant in the room mentality, where we don't talk about anything, we keep everything a secret and quiet. For example, if there's alcoholism in the home, abuse in the home, mental illness in the home, and they have been explicitly told that this is not something that you talk about or share with anyone, so you basically have to keep it a secret. So that is another reason why a child would contain in their play, because they're visually representing what their experience is in their home life. Another option is if the child is using the container to gain power over what is contained. So they can have power and control over the figure or the character or the object that is contained. That is another option. And then finally, the child can sometimes actually be wanting the therapist to help provide boundaries. And so this is kind of a much deeper subcurrent, if you will, of what's going on, but it's almost like an indirect question to the therapist of, are you able to keep these boundaries for me and can we contain this together? So that can actually run concurrently with any of those other three meanings that I just discussed, but there sometimes is kind of this root cause of the child desperately needing the therapist to kind of contain all of their stuff for them and help them with boundaries. So just be aware that that is sometimes a factor as well. So when you see containing play, it is helpful to not only note it as a theme, obviously, but then see what other themes might be running concurrently. So it's very easy for power and control to run alongside containing play. It's easy for good versus bad to run concurrently with containing play because, you know, the good guys are in the pen staying safe and then the bad guys are trying to get in, but they can't. So you can see how they would work together. So containing play is a theme that often is kind of a parallel track with another theme that's going on as well. So I hope that's helpful. Containing play is something that you actually see quite often. It's a pretty common theme. And when we're talking about safety, you know, as we go through these five themes together in the safety category, it is helpful to frame these in terms of the child's safety and the child's perception of safety, obviously, because when you have a child that can't express their feelings effectively, well, that is them staying safe. When you have a child that's not allowed to talk about things at home, that's a child staying safe. When they are trying to have power and control, that's their maladaptive coping so that they feel safe. So it's helpful to hear these themes and then kind of filter it through the idea of safety because that is the broad category of these themes. So I hope that's helpful. I hope that you're able to recognize containing theme. And in our next episode, we will talk about protection play. So that's also very, very powerful for a child. So I'm excited to dive into that next time. I'm grateful for each and every one of you. We'll talk again soon. Bye.
Thank you for listening to the Play Therapy Podcast with Dr. Brenna Hicks. For more episodes and resources, please go to www.playtherapypodcast.com.